This morning we will be in Psalm 34. If you have your Bibles or would just like to follow us on the screen. But as we take a look at Psalm 34, David, we stop and think about David. Psalm 34 was written by David after Saul had decided to kill him, and he had ran from him and had gotten back with the Philistines, and he knew wasn't going to help him, but he thought, I got to do something. And so then David has to turn and act like a crazy man. But if you look at 1 Samuel and you go back to 1 Samuel 21 and 22 and some of 20, you'll find all of this that we're going to be talking about today in Psalm 34. Now, we know that it was of that day, if you were mentally ill or if you had things going on with you, that what would happen, they would not harm you. They felt sorry for you. They would take pity upon you. Today, I don't know what we do. But anyway, we have people that do things every day and claim to be mental, and they probably are. They wouldn't have done it to begin with. But David, when he got into the presence of King Achish, I think's how you say that, he was knowing that he was fixing to be killed. He scratched the walls. He foamed at the mouth, and it run down his beard. He done everything, and they had pity on him, you know, and so they let him go. And after he got back into where he should be, and after he got back to realization that it's the Lord that has saved me. It's not anything I've done. It's the Lord. And so Psalm 34, it comes from David's encounter during all this time. Psalm 34 starts, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak His praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt His name together. I prayed to the Lord, and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow or shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His godly people. For those who fear Him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anybody want to live? Does anybody want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil, and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And the righteous person faces many troubles. But the Lord comes to rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve Him. No one who takes refuge in Him will be condemned. This is a reading of God's Word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Folks, as we see the reading of Psalm 34, we see that David has found himself in some serious trouble. And after he has gotten out of this trouble and got back to where he could praise God and thank God for it, he sets down and he says, we will praise the Lord at all times. How often do we as Christian people praise the Lord at all times? You know, I was reading a devotion one morning, and this guy said, in this devotion, he said, you know, we get up every morning, and we may thank the Lord for letting our feet hit the floor, but he said, we can't wait to get to our prayer time. And when we get to our prayer time, we go to laying out all these problems that we have for the Lord to fix. And fix them today, Lord. We don't need them fixed tomorrow. We need them fixed today. And he said, how much different would your prayer time be if you came to him first thing and just forget about your problems? Just forget about what's going on in your life. But praise him. Give him praise and thanks for everything that's in your life. You see, we know that David, he was a man of God's own heart. God loved him. But did he do everything right? No, he didn't do anything. Hardly, to me, it looked like he might have been a 50-50 man, you know, if that. But he didn't do a whole lot of things that was right at all. He made some bad mistakes, folks. But yet, he turned to God. And he always gave God praise and thanks for everything that he'd done. He said, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. We pray to the Lord a lot. Sometimes our prayers get answered. Sometimes they don't. Folks, if one thing that I learned from a young man, young in life, I've heard a lot of older guys say that I prayed to the Lord about this, and I've prayed to the Lord about this, and I've prayed about it, and he never has answered my prayer. Well, maybe, just maybe, it wasn't at the right time. Maybe it's a lot of reasons God doesn't answer our prayer. Maybe it's a selfish prayer that we're wanting somebody to take, that we want God to take care of, something to be done about. Folks, there's a lot of reasons why God doesn't answer our prayers. I've prayed about a lot of things in life that I did not get an answer for. I did not receive a yes or a no. I've just left it there with the Lord. Yet, in the big circle of things, it comes back around and things begin to be taken care of in God's way. Not in Mike's way. It's when I allow God to take care and to take my fears, to take everything that's on my heart and give it to God. And this is what David said. He said, he freed me from all of my fears. And those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. It's when I have been in the greatest fear of my entire life when I look to God and I say, Lord, this, you know, I have no control over this. I have no control over what's going to happen. But it's okay. You got control of it. You know what's going to happen. Your fears are taken away from you. And it's been my experience, folks, that when your fears are taken away, it's never, ever, ever in my entire life, it's never been as bad as I thought that they would be. No matter what that situation is. You might think, well, I'm just scared to death. I don't know how this is going to work out. It's always been when you turn it over to God, it's never as bad as you had it dreamed up to be. Y'all ever thought about that? Isn't that a whole lot of it? It's when we turn it over to God, not try to do it ourselves, because if we try to stay in control and do it ourselves, we see that does not work. And that's when we listen, and the Lord listens to us. David said, in my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened, and he saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard, and he surrounds and defends all who fear him. The angel of the Lord in Psalms, I think it's mentioned three times, one here in 34 and twice in 35. In 5 and 6, and I kind of find that pretty neat, that you got the angel of the Lord, which could be also referred to as God, and, you know, instead of the angel of the Lord, God, is just himself, for God is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. But David calls it the angel of the Lord. And we could talk about that for another several hours, but we won't. So we see, folks, that when we leave this guard that God gives us, when we allow him to be our guard and allow him to take care of us and to take care of the problems that we have, we see that things work so much better. If you go back in Samuel and you read this story, you're going to see David got all messed up. He was doing things the wrong way. But he had to stop and refocus and get back in the way that God wanted him to be. He also tells us in verse 8, he says, "Taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him." You know, when he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good," it's the most wonderful thing that you'll ever be able to taste or see, folks, if you would only try it. He's given us an invitation here to just try it. Just try it. Now, we had a big meal Thursday night. We had food, I mean, all kinds of food. And everybody was commenting on this and that. And the bread and butter pickles was extremely hot. And Tammy said they were way too hot. I thought they were good, you know. So you taste food, sometimes people will get things one way, you get them the other. But when you taste the Lord, when you taste the Lord, it's only one way. And it is the grandest thing that you will ever be able to taste and to have and to see in your life. That warm feeling that he will give to you, it is unreal, folks, this invitation he's offering to every one of us. And I guarantee you, you will like it. There will be no if and and. But if you taste it, and you taste it with an open heart, you taste it with an open mind, you will like it. Isn't that wonderful? Because there's so many things that y'all eat that I don't eat. I don't eat fish. I don't eat all that stuff that comes out of the ocean. That's crazy. You know, y'all like it, don't you? Everybody likes it but me. So see, that's where we differ. But the one thing we can agree on, one thing that unites us as people, is God and our love for Jesus Christ. That's awesome, folks. It is so awesome. So when we love him, and we asked, he tells us in verse 11, he says, "Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord." Well, you're thinking, all this time, as we're giving praise and thanksgiving to God, I don't want to come to a God or to the Lord that I fear. That would be crazy for me to come and fear him. But learn to come and love him. Learn to have reverence for him. Folks, it is so good, because when you do, you'll have obedience to him. You will be obedient. And in being obedient, when we are obedient and obeying what he tells us, then we learn what God told us. Not only to love me, but to love your neighbor as yourself. You will learn to, when you're obedient to him, you will learn not only to love God, but love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be thankful for your neighbor. It is such an awesome time that we are in right now. I mean, everybody sees problems. I mean, I could talk about the problems we got forever and a day. But folks, stop and think about how blessed we are. How blessed we are as a people. Amen. Isn't that something, that we have this opportunity to live in America? But think about the sacrifices that's been made that we can live here. I mean, folks, it's not been without cost. But Jesus, God's Son, is with us every day. Now, he doesn't tell us that if you come and you taste and you love it and you like it, all of your problems is going away. He doesn't tell us that, does he? But he's going to be right there with us. Right there with us to walk with us and to hold our hand. And for us to enjoy that love. And for us to enjoy that peace that he will provide in our hearts. He tells us in verse 15 that the eyes of the Lord watches over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But he also turns his face against those who do evil. And he will erase their memory from the earth. So folks, when we're in dire need, we're in trouble, we have things that's going on in our lives, don't turn against God. I hear people all the time that say, I'm just really kind of mad at God. I'm just kind of put out with God. He didn't hear my prayers. He didn't answer my prayers. And the things that's happened to me, Mike, you'd be mad at him too. Folks, don't do that. We can't do that. We give God praise for whatever the circumstance might be. We don't understand. There's so many things we don't understand. And just because you've tasted his love and you have this joy and you have this peace about you that you know is coming from God and things are not 100% like you'd want them to be in your life, just give him praise. Just stop and give him praise because he is such an awesome God. He'll work it out. It may not be in your time. It may not be that day, but he'll work it out. Folks, I could tell you, I could stand right here and testify all afternoon long into the night about the things that my life has been so messed up and different things, not only things that I created, but different jobs, different things in my life that have happened. And I've just cried to the Lord, Lord, I can't deal with this anymore. I got to have some relief. And I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I don't see it coming. But when you're living and your life is focused upon God, when your life, you're focused upon Jesus Christ, you can expect, folks, this still small voice may tell you one direction or the other to go. You may be at a crossroad and you're wondering, what am I doing in my life? I'm here at this crossroad and I need to make an adjustment one way or the other. God will tell you which direction to go. He's directed my life so many times in a still small way when I completely refused to listen. And it was nobody but God. Nobody but God. So David knew and understood that God was there for him. And he knew that even when I'm having trouble, that God didn't tell me that he was going to make it all good and everything was going to be wonderful. He just said, I'll be with you, David. I will be with you. And you don't have to worry about all this. You don't have to try to create the answer. If you will wait, I will give you the answer. And so David finally began to realize, and he wrote this psalm so that we can hear what God will do for you. He tells us in verse 17 that the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. I don't know about y'all folks, but I've been where my heart was brokenhearted a lot in my life. I've been to where I didn't want my heart to be where it was for a number of reasons. But I can never tell you that I've been there when God wasn't with me. Because you feel his presence. Even when I wasn't living, just like David, when I wasn't living for God and doing the things that I needed to be doing for the Lord, I could still feel his presence in my life. Folks, he is there for you. As we're entering into this Thanksgiving season, there's lots of things that will be happening that may just, you may feel crushed, that I just can't believe this is going on. It's a time that's just my life is just crushed. And it is in my life right now as well. And Tammy's, we have this adopted grandson, and his wife is sick, and she's 27 years old. And, you know, they're telling her that probably this time next year she won't be with us. And, I mean, it just breaks your heart. It she's such a wonderful, wonderful young person. And the love that she has for others and the love that she has for the Lord. And you could say, Lord, I don't understand anything about this. Why in the world will you let this young person be sick? You know, but just stop and think, folks. Let's just give him thanks. I give him thanks for me being able to have her in my life. If it's for one more day or if it's for another 10, 15, 30 years, who knows? I give him praise for her because she is such an awesome young lady. You see, you can be ill and mad and hurtful toward God, or you can give him praise because everything, every one of us, we're in God's hands. He tells us that we can have a long life. He tells us not to be speaking evil, and we don't need to be lying, and we don't need to be this and that. And you might live to have a long life. I think it's in Psalm 90, about the fourth verse, somewhere in there. It tells us that we're going to be maybe 70 years will be our lifetime, and that we might make it 80. And if you do, consider yourself very fortunate. But what gives us this long life? God does. If he has blessed you with a life of 90 years or 80 years or 70 years, and then it's all about him. Give praise to him. Give thanks to him. Because it's him that has done it. It's through him that it has been done. You know, I love that scripture as we come down to the end of the psalm where the righteous person, there at the 19th verse, where the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. And here's the prophecy of Jesus. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them will be broken. You wonder sometimes, where's Jesus in the Old Testament? Where's Jesus in the Psalms? Where's Jesus? Right there is Jesus. That's Jesus. What happened on the cross? His bones weren't broken. They should have been broken because that's what they done to everyone that they placed upon the cross. But God protected him. And folks, God protects us. Even in our hardest times, times that we have no way of answering what's going on in this world, God is with us. It says in the very last verse that the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. You see, Jesus wants us to serve him. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to be that Christian that he's called us to be, that follower, that disciple. And it gives him praise when we are calling him as our Redeemer, when we're calling him God. He loves it. He loves it when we're praising him. He gives us many of the things and the desires of our heart. You see, folks, we have a couple of choices. As we stop and think about Thanksgiving, it's a time that everybody could fuss and complain about. But it's also a most wonderful, wonderful time of the year to give praise for. Because Jesus came, and all he said was, when he got ready to die up on that cross, was, Lord, if there's any other, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup. That's all he said. But it wasn't any other way. You know, he still gave thanks to God. Every opportunity he had, he gave thanks to God. And even on that cross, when that thief was right beside him, and that thief says, you know, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me, Lord. He says, you're going to be right with me in paradise. And that other thief, he made fun of him, you know. like we do, we see people doing today, making fun of you because you're a Christian, making fun of you because you're in church, making fun of you because you love the Lord. We see it all the time. And you're going to begin to see more persecution. You're going to begin to see things begin to happen. But Jesus, when you love Him, even while being on the cross, He makes provisions for Him. He made provisions for that thief. He makes provisions for each one of us, folks. Each one of us. No matter what your life might be in right now, you may be in a bad time, bad spot. You may be in the best spot you've been in your whole life. Give praise to God. Give thanks to God. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him it's you know and understand that nothing is possible without Him. Nothing is possible, folks. And that's what He likes for us to do, is to praise Him and give Him praise for everything. And in doing so, we are making Him happy. Folks, I just stopped and when I read that devotion that day, and I was thinking about how I get up and I got this issue and I got that issue. And Lord, I hurt and I ache and I want You to take all that away from me. I need to do some work today and I'm just hurting so bad I can't. Instead of all the complaints that we bring to the Lord, let's give praise through this Thanksgiving season. Let's taste that sweetness of His love. Let's open our hearts to those that we've already received. David had already received, but he opened his heart and he received more. So folks, I hope that we open our hearts this Thanksgiving and receive everything that God has for us. And you will not understand everything that's going on. You will not understand that you're not getting an answer today for a prayer. But if you watch that big old time clock go around, you will see God taking care of whatever our need will be. He takes care of us because He loves us. He loves you and He loves me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.